Okay. Let's talk some football with Peter Schrager, who's, I don't know what he's doing this week. We'll find out. What are you doing this week?
Doing the Good Morning Football show tomorrow.
Oh, I know that, but wait, what game are you doing?
Doing Fox Studio on Sunday, the NFL kickoff show. We got a good slate on Fox also on Sunday. So I'm doing double duty studio this week and going to be there over the weekend as well.
Good slate on Sunday. Let's see if I agree with good slate on Sunday.
Good slate. Solid slate. Look at that 4:30 game on Fox. Vikings-Patriots? Hello.
Yeah, I'm more interested.
No?
I'm more interested in the. You know why that game's not great. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really matter if the Pats win. Well, I'm more interested in the Chargers Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, no.
Because you know that game. Who do you think wins that game? Chargers Pittsburgh.
I think Pittsburgh, and that's just on recent bias alone of the Chargers never winning a big game in the last few years. Every time I get on that Chargers bandwagon, they end up playing a big game against Andy and the Chiefs and losing, or they end up playing a big game against someone in their conference and losing. And to me, I don't know, Pittsburgh has not looked good the last 2 weeks. And
no.
Last week,
well, they never look good on the road, first of all. You know, they're great at home, and they're just iffy on the road. You know, that's the way they are. So is Ben.
This one's at night in Pittsburgh. Does that San Diego or L.A. team without Melvin Gordon go in there and win? I don't see it.
That's tough. Very hard. I totally agree. Very, very hard. You'd have to favor. I agree with you. You have to favor Pittsburgh in that game just because they're home. Listen, Ben's a very different player at home. I mean, for whatever reason, he just is. I mean, look at the different numbers. Look at the picks. The picks is outrageous. It really is. So,
defense has played well the last two games, too. They shut down Jacksonville, and then the Broncos, they just hung around and they won. Now, let's go back to that first game, though. Let me tell you about Patriots-Vikings. I think it's actually huge. I don't know if the Patriots can go into KC this year. I don't know if the Patriots can go, you know, into Pittsburgh this year. But if it's in Foxborough in the playoffs, I'm not picking against them. To me, I think home field advantage is as big as it's ever been for that Patriots team.
You know what? I don't think the Pats – I'm going to tell you honestly, I'm not going to have a hard time, I don't think, picking against the Pats in the playoffs this year. I don't think they're that good. I think that they really are – playing on fumes this year. And listen, they can do it. The division stinks. We know how well coached they are. They got Brady, so they'll do it. But I just see there's too many weeks where you're just not impressed. Even when they're winning, you're not impressed. You know, you're just not impressed by what you see right now. So I think this year these teams got a shot at them. They really do. But we'll let that unfold the way it has to unfold. But Minnesota definitely needs that game because, let's be honest, this wild card jumble in the NFC is going to be absurd. I mean, it's going to be crazy. You could have like four teams at like 9-7
and
all kinds of crazy tiebreakers.
And it gets real wonky because of the tie, right? The Packers and the Vikings tied in week two.
Yep.
It's a really important game for them. Here's what I said on our show this morning. I said, you know, the Vikings beat the Packers last week at home, but if you look at it, the Packers are a 4-6-1 team. Let's not do
it. Hasn't won a road game this year.
This is not the Packers team of old. That said, the Vikings played the Rams and lost, played the Bears and lost. They played the Saints and they lost. They haven't really beat a good team yet. So if you take the Vikings and you put them up against the Patriots in New England and you get out a win, suddenly, if I'm talking about the Saints, Bears, and Rams, they've already played them once, and Zimmer's a pretty good defensive coach. And we know that those teams are going to try to score as much as possible. If there's any way to beat those teams, it's with a good front defensive line and it's with a great defensive backfield. And one of the only teams in the league to have it are the Vikings. Cousins won a game last week, and I think people said, you know, he slayed the dragon. He won a primetime game. He beat Rodgers. Get out of here. That's a 4-6-1 Packers team playing on the road. I don't agree with that.
I'm not sold
Hallmark
on Cousins
win.
Yet. Who do you think right now, like, I'll do a couple of these. Who do you think wins the NFC East?
I think Dallas wins the NFC East.
Makes sense. I agree with that. Okay. Who do you think? You think Chicago or Minnesota wins the North?
I think Chicago wins the North. I think they've got, you know, the two-game lead on them right now, and I just think Minnesota's got a really hard schedule. I think they get in as a wild card, but I think Chicago does win the North.
All right. We know Rams and Saints are 1-2, and they get the byes. We know that. Okay, now.
You know what team I wouldn't want to face in the wild card?
Seattle.
Though, right?
Seattle.
I mean, has there ever been a scarier thing than a
Seattle's done a very good job. They really have. They've done it without their defense. They've done it with the running game. They've done it differently this year. The quarterback's done a very good job. They've won a lot of close games. Carolina,
you know what's amazing?
Carolina should be ashamed the way they lost that game last week, but they did. So there's nothing
lost
they can do.
Game. How about the Lions game with a 2-point conversion at the end?
Oh, my God. They've had a couple of them, but this one was
home, too.
And how
about the week before? Yeah. How about that Thursday night effort against the Steelers, if you're a Panthers fan? What
hey, they have had brutal losses. Absolutely true. And now they're 6-5 and have lost three games in a row. So obviously, it's interesting for them. So right now, who are your two wild cards right now?
Seattle and
Minnesota.
And
Carolina.
No, I can't right now because they got the Saints in week 15 and 17. So
that might be. Listen, having the Saints in 17 is going to be a positive. They're not going to play anybody.
Yeah, but Sean is a madman. He would never take the foot off the pedal.
I don't think he would. I think he might.
He'd probably get more pleasure out of knocking the Panthers out than even worrying about that stuff.
I'm not sure.
Another coach, maybe Sean Payton. If they're 14-1,
against a team that's playing, against a regular team. I'm against doing that, but against a team that's playing to get into the playoffs, they will beat your brains in that game. That's a tricky game to get your guys up for. You can be excited for it. It's hard to get the players up for those games sometimes.
Well, I guess you're right. I just see Sean being a
tricky
division rival.
That'll be fun. That'll be tricky. It really will. To see they're the other team. As far as that goes, where are they this week? I'm trying to remember. Where are they? I'm trying to think.
Who's this? Carolina. They've got a winnable game with Tampa in Tampa.
Okay, so they're going to get to 7-5. Okay, so they're going to be. It's going to be. I agree. It's going to be Minnesota, Carolina, and Seattle are going to be the three teams.
Yeah, I was going to say this about Seattle. You know who their offensive coordinator is? Brian Schottenheimer. And this is a guy that Jets fans have labored long hours complaining about.
Yes,
the 4th and 3. Tie game on the road.
Yep.
They
touchdown
go for
pass.
It, and, it,
touchdown
and
pass.
He throws a 38-yard bomb to a guy from East Oklahoma State.
That's the quarterback.
Shoddy, remember Shoddy's offense here?
Yep. That's what. Listen, it has to do with who you're coaching. That's the difference. Look at the quarterback. The quarterback makes big plays. He has his whole life. That's what he's done his whole life, that guy. He's always been a big playmaker. That's what he is. And he's done a great job. Let me go with the AFC.
The Packers real quick. If the Packers win 5 straight, they finish 9-6-1, and Rodgers might get in as a wild card. Are you completely done with Packers? No shot from this point on?
I'm tired of everybody thinking the Packers are running any tables. They haven't even won a road game this year. They're 0-6.
Okay.
I think the Bears finish them. If the Bears are healthy, Bears finish them when they play them in Chicago.
Okay.
Because I think they'll maul them with that pass rush. And I agree what you said when you started. I was talking with Peter Schrager. And that is, everyone still, because they look at Aaron Rodgers and say, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers, he can't lose. You know what? They're not a good team anymore. And they're going to have a new coach next year. The question is, who gets to coach Aaron Rodgers? That's going to be the interesting part.
Is that a dream job or is that a smoke and mirrors job? Because he ain't easy to coach.
You know what it is? It's kind of a little bit of broken glass there. It's tricky. It really is. It's a tricky job. It could be
a really good job.
Yeah, you could walk in and have a really big year, but you could also have a nightmare. So it's a tricky deal. Now, the question is, does he have a guy that he loves on that staff, or does he want a whole new look? That kind of thing.
Very interesting.
That's tricky. I don't know who the coach is.
You go through the job opportunities. I don't know if you'd rather, and it's crazy to say it because you're like, I almost feel like a Cleveland or the Jets, where it's a clean slate and you can come in and kind of work with a young quarterback. Rodgers is a tough cookie. He's not easy to coach. And as much as it's a dream to coach the greatest quarterback of his generation or whatever you want to call him, you're up against it right from go. You're on a pedestal, and he's going to judge you even harder than the fans will.
How about the musical chairs here? Because it's interesting. And we're talking with Peter Schrager, Fox. If the Cowboys win the division, Jason stays, which opens Lincoln Riley up for Cleveland if he wants to make the move, which means Harbaugh's not in Cleveland. He's on the free agent market if he leaves Baltimore, and it changes the whole merry-go-round. So it's interesting to see exactly what happens, because I think, to me, Dallas is the linchpin to all the coaching jobs, because if they scoop up Lincoln Riley, if they don't make the playoffs, they change everything. If not, it's a whole different scenario if Jason stays in Dallas.
You're right. I think John Harbaugh would get a lot of offers, and at least to interview with whoever he wants. If he was,
oh, I think he'd get a lot of job offers. I agree with you. I think he gets a lot. I think he becomes a very popular guy. I agree. I think a little harder for Mike McCarthy to get a job right away.
Yeah, I'm not sure Mike McCarthy's getting a head coaching job right out of the gate if this happens this way. I would say this, though. You know, Harbaugh and Garrett, we in the media, you and me included, because I think we talked about this a couple of weeks, we fired them 3 weeks ago, and both those teams have completely turned their seasons around. The Ravens are believing in their quarterback, whether you believe in what they're going to do sustainable or not. They're winning games with Lamar Jackson. They've got winnable games on the schedule. Harbaugh and Garrett, I mean, those are two guys that everyone said, okay, well, sometimes it's just been too long. You had 10 years in a place, it's time to move on. I think both those guys saved their jobs the past few weeks.
You know, Harbaugh is interesting from the standpoint of you might be right about him saving his job, and maybe he leaves anyway because it's just the time to leave. You know, it's possible. But they haven't played anybody yet with the kid, and I can't – even the running quarterbacks have cautioned, you can't play this way every week. You cannot play this way. It's not going to turn out good. So I don't know how many weeks they can get away with a steady diet of this stuff. I didn't – first week he carried it 27. How many did he carry it last week? Do you remember off the top of your head?
I think he had 11 carries, but he ran for 80 yards or something.
Okay, so, you know, that's got, against good teams, that's going to end quickly. You know that. So we aren't there yet. They're playing Atlanta this week, so he could probably run again if he wants. But sooner than later, that's going to change, and we're going to see what happens. But right now, you know, next week they play Kansas City. That'll be interesting. They'll have to put up a bunch of points. That'll be very interesting after that. But they're right back in the mix. Let's do the AFC for a second.
Yeah, it's a great conference this year.
All right, we know the Pats are winning easy. No one else out of the division gets in. Pittsburgh wins the division. Houston, I'm going to say you're going to give them the division. They got a two-game lead. I mean, Baltimore's done a great job. I mean, Indianapolis done a great job. Kansas City has got a game and a half lead over the Chargers. So do you give the Chargers – and the Colts, is it Chargers-Colts? Is it Chargers-Ravens? Who's your wild cards?
Yeah, I would say the Colts are the most fun team right now to watch, and they're winning these games in historic fashion and doing all this stuff. But I think end of the day, I think we're looking at Baltimore, and I think the Chargers. And I think that might be a little boring to people, but that's what it is. And
Pretty clear cut in the AFC. Everything's pretty clear cut in the AFC when you look at it, you know?
It is. The teams that are like weird are like Denver and Indianapolis because the Broncos have just won two games in a row.
Indy's the fun one, as you said. They're fun schedule's
and Denver's
not that
so
crazy.
Not fun, but if you look at Denver's schedule.
And he's probably saved his job too, though.
I think so. They don't want to fire him. They already fired a coach 2 years ago.
Plus, he's come back. Look at the last 2 weeks. He's won big games the last 2 weeks. You know, give him credit. He won a couple of big games last 2 weeks.
That's coming off a bye week where everyone fired him in the media also because they lost to Houston when he played it safe. They went to the field goal and missed it. They really played well against L.A. in L.A. and won. And then they outplayed the Pittsburgh Steelers, whether it was home or away or whatever you want to say.
And now they have the dying Bengals. So they're
the dying Bengals. You know, they got the Raiders a couple times, I think. The Broncos are a weird one because –
They have San Francisco, so their schedule looks pretty good. San Francisco, and then in 15, they have Denver is where in 15? Cleveland.
Win.
And then week 16, they have.
Right now, I got them winning three in a row. Who's the next week after that?
Hold on. They have Oakland.
Win. That's four in a row.
And then Chargers at home.
Come on.
That could be a playoff game.
Come on. Broncos win five in a row, finish the season.
How about that? How about that? That could. How about 9-6 Broncos, 10-5 Chargers? Denver's already beat them once.
Tiebreaker.
How about that? That could be a playoff. That could be the big game the last week because that could be a playoff game.
We need to see them rattle them off, though. They can't.
How about
one.
That? That could be. But you know, you can always stub your toe. You know, somebody Cleveland could beat them. You know, somebody could beat them. Cincy could beat. You never. Somebody could beat them. They're beatable, but they could have some fun. You're right. That was a good catch because they really do have a soft schedule.
You know
the rest of the way.
You know what's fun about that Browns one? It's in Denver, and I'm doing the sidelines for it to promote it. Saturday night primetime game, the entire country getting it, Broncos versus Browns in Mile High with Baker Mayfield. They could be coming in hot, too. It could be fun.
And I'm the first 15. One. I'm the first one getting on Luck bandwagon for my guy Luck to be the MVP, not Mahomes. Because he was,
You've been on the Luck bandwagon since he stepped on the field this season.
Absolutely. And look at his supporting cast versus the Kansas City supporting cast. You know, come on now. What a year Luck has had. Eight straight games, three or more. They've won five in a row. I mean, he has had an incredible, incredible season. As has Mahomes.
Fun.
As
they're
has
so
Breeze.
So fun to watch.
So fun to watch. I watched the entire Dolphin game last week, and obviously they're down 10 when he starts his heroics. So it was a great finish. The place going berserk. It was a great finish.
Gase is getting clobbered right now in Miami because on 3rd and 10,
yep,
and they're up by 3. He called a draw play.
Draw play.
You know, he's supposed to be one of these offensive.
What are you doing?
Guys.
He played that whole series to give Luck the ball back, knowing if you gave him the ball back, what was going to happen.
I totally agree. Whole fourth quarter? Didn't you feel it? Like, okay,
hey,
right,
you could.
Down
you
14,
just knew
this.
You have to be sitting there. You know you cannot give him the ball back. You have got to. He ran the ball into the line and punted. You were saying you know what's going to come. You know what's going to happen here.
Tells me a lot about their trust in Tannehill also, doesn't
they
it?
They don't have any. They don't have any. And that just showed you. They didn't try to make one play in the fourth quarter knowing that. And remember, they had to give him the ball back 3 times in the fourth quarter. He came back from 10 down. So he was down 10, he was down 3, and then he was even, and he got the ball all 3 times.
Can I ask you a question? Because Frank Reich's having this amazing year.
Yes.
Say the Saints finish 15-1. Say they finish the thing out. Who's your NFL coach of the year?
NFL coach of the year.
Do you say Reich makes the playoffs even? Andy's got a new quarterback, and Mahomes are doing crazy stuff. McVay's winning with all these crazy personalities. To me, Sean Payton, if he goes 15-1, you got to give it to
him. I'll give it to Sean anyway, just for the sake of it. You know what? I'll give it to him. After losing the first week and giving up 48 points, which I still can't understand. I still.
They can do a documentary on that game.
I'm telling you. I remember picking the game, and I'm like, oh, this game's good. You know, Saints are going to score 40. This is going to be a 40-17 game. And I got killed coast to coast for that pick. And they haven't lost a game since.
No, you just picked the wrong week. If you picked 14 others, you would have been right with the Saints.
It's unbelievable, and I've been mad at them ever since. And it was the first week of the season. They gave up 48 points. They scored 40, but they gave up 48. It's unbelievable. What do you think tonight? I'm going to give you a thought here. I think Dallas will play well tonight. I think this game will be close.
I think the Saints blow the doors off them.
I don't think so. I disagree. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think the Saints are going to score, but I think the Cowboys are going to score points on the Saints. I think it's going to be a fairly close. I think it's going to be a close game within a touchdown.
We're doing our show this morning, and I hadn't seen it. And one of the reporters, young woman Jane Slater down in Dallas, tells a story about DeMarcus Lawrence, the player in the Cowboys. And he's talking about
very good player too, very
great
good
player. But he's talking about how they're going to choke the Saints out. And
yeah,
all
be quiet. Be quiet. Yeah,
what are we
quiet.
Doing here? Do you
no,
realize you do not poke that bear?
Be
you know?
Quiet.
And that's,
yes,
that's where I turned
yeah.
on it. I'll
not
be,
that
right.
quarterback.
Dallas,
not that quarterback.
They're starting to read their headlines. Drew
Plus,
Brees
Sean,
is a better
Sean loves when he goes back to Dallas because you know Sean. You know Dallas is his town, as you know. So he loves Dallas. You know, his son lives in Dallas, as you know. So, I mean, Sean has always been rumored with Dallas a million times.
Every single time Jason Garrett loses a game.
Every time. Every time they've had Sean going back to Dallas. Ever since he was there, because he was there, obviously, with Bill. And that made Sean's career going there as Bill's offensive coordinator. So
I think Bill and Bill are still incredibly
I think I would say Bill talks probably more coaches than anybody in the league in the history of the league. He talks to Sean probably more than he talks to anybody in the league. He talks
Is
to
that
Sean
right?
all the time. Yes.
Yeah.
They are very close. He's close to Zimmer too.
I know Zim talks to him. I think Zim and him exchange
all the time.
Messages weekly from what
so
I got.
So do a lot of other coaches. But the bottom line, I told you, I said the other morning, and I don't like to talk about him much because he likes his privacy, but he talks to more of the league. He is the patron saint of the entire league. He's got guys all over the league who call him for advice every week. It's amazing. He's coaching half the league. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Is that right?
Yeah. He gets called. It's amazing. He talks to everybody in the league. He talks to players. You got players who call him for advice.
I don't know if he'd be okay with me saying it, but I was talking to McVay this week during their bye week, and he says he speaks with Dick Vermeil weekly.
I'm like, sure
Vermeil? Yeah. He goes, yeah, I talked to Dick Vermeil. He's like, he's a wealth of knowledge. I'm like,
hey, absolutely.
So
you know what? If you're a young coach, you should have a guy like that because they've been through it. And not only that, they're sitting home watching the games.
They watch them.
They watch it
them.
All the time. So they're a great source of stuff. They're a great source of information. And they give you a good perspective on your team because they're sitting there watching your team.
You know, I almost wonder if some of these teams need to have like a board of like governors where like say the Jets like employed – a Parcells and a Vermeil and
hey,
a Mike
Martz.
Hey, you know, it's not the worst thing.
Hey, a lot of baseball teams have guys like that. You saw Tony La Russa doing that this year. I mean, it happens. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. It makes plenty of sense. And I'm telling you, he's got his guys, you know, and the Parcells tree has been incredibly successful. Let's be honest.
You know, it's funny. Everyone talks about the Belichick tree. They don't really succeed as head coaches. The Parcells tree and the Andy Reid tree are loaded.
Yeah, the Holmgren tree is very good. And Andy Reid comes off that. The Andy Reid tree has been very productive. The Belichick tree by itself has been a terrible branch, but he's the Parcells tree.
Yeah.
And the Parcells tree has Coughlin, Peyton, Belichick, Zimmer. It has a lot of guys on it. It really does, who have done very well. Really, a lot of guys. Yeah, and Andy Reid's becoming a – that's why I think Bieniemy is going to get a job because he's like
he
the next guy. You know that?
He might. You know, I don't know. I know Bieniemy's not calling the plays. Andy's calling the plays.
No, Andy's always going to call the plays, though. I mean, Andy's always going to call the plays.
And
absolutely.
And if the fans who are, like, using that, let me tell you something. Doug Peterson didn't call the plays, and Matt Nagy didn't call the plays either. Andy calls the plays.
Andy always called the plays. I mean, Andy, see, that's Andy. He has to call the plays. That's his fun thing. He likes that. He has to call the plays. Absolutely. So
I'm curious to see what the Jets do after this season.
What do you think?
I have no inside info on that right now. They won't talk. They're not talking. That's not going to
get out.
Well,
give me the one guy with all the stuff you do in the league now, give me the one guy, one assistant that you would say, I would bet money this guy will be a head coach next year who's an assistant in the league this year right now. Like
I'm not reaching for names. It's not like it was in recent years. There's no Kyle Shanahan. There's no Sean McVay. The guys that you hear are these college guys, this Lincoln Riley.
If he's going to get a ton of offers, there's no question. But is there one guy that you
people
think
are trying to convince themselves that this Matt LaFleur in Tennessee, because he worked under McVay and Kyle Shanahan as a guy, I'm not sure he's ready. People are trying to convince themselves that John DeFilippo up in Minnesota, because he was with Frank Reich and with Peterson, and now he's with Minnesota. They're not; these guys are not lights out picks.
Yeah, but like he and Zim have been fighting a little bit, though. That one's a little iffy enough.
That one is interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that you'd say that. That is a very interesting one, and I don't think there's a slam dunk guy. You know who I'd like? That now I'm hearing rumors of, and I don't think it's official yet, but. Hell, Mike, I would have called Cliff Kingsbury and brought him in for an interview, right? Like, I know he was fired from Texas.
You know what? He is. It's funny. When I was in the car and I heard he got fired, I said, and they were talking about how he still had like $4 million on his contract. I said, $4 million on his contract? Yeah, this is the guy who made Mahomes. He's going to be in the NFL so quick, it's going to be, forget it. He's going
to
be
in the
NFL.
And now the talk is that they've agreed to terms to be the USC offensive coordinator. I reached out. It's not official yet, but they are in talks. Don't take a college coordinator job. Ride this out.
He would get a job in the NFL next year. He shouldn't. I'm surprised he did that. Well, they kept
the
coach there.
He hasn't agreed yet. It's not official yet, but USC wants him. But to me, that would be my number one guy. I'm giving away free advice for any of these teams. I would go hire him. I know he was fired. This guy's 38 years old. Looks the look. Groomed Mahomes.
Yep.
Groomed Davis.
Hey, he's a quarterback.
He's a former quarterback who
eats and sleeps this offense. That's what he is. That's exactly what he is. He doesn't care about the rest of the team. So that's why he's not a great head coach, because he's like Spurrier. Spurrier used to go in when he was coaching and say to the college, listen, say to the offense, the defense when he was coaching in college, listen, just don't give up 50, we'll win. That was his advice to the defense. Just don't give up 50, we'll win.
So if I'm a guy like Kingsbury, I'd be on the phone right now. And if I was a team, I'd find either a Chuck Pagano or a John Fox, or I'd even talk to Todd Bowles, and I'd say, you be the DC, let this guy run the offense, and kind of give some leadership.
He'd be a good guy to bring into an offense, I agree. Now, I don't understand Arians. Arians saying, I want to coach the Browns and nothing else. Hey, if you want to coach next year, why are you only limiting yourself to the Cleveland Browns?
I don't
get it.
And it's also an interesting strategy, talking to the media in week 12. I don't know.
Very strange. Very strange. Yeah. And he's struggling, and I love him, but he's struggling a little bit on TV. He's not been great, so I have to admit.
It's a three-man booth. I'll give it. It's hard.
It hasn't been great, though. It hasn't been great. And listen, I love him. I love him, but he hasn't been great. Yeah, because you know what? They're not getting his personality out. It's just not working. But three-man booth, as you said, very hard. Very hard.
Better than Witten.
No, listen. Listen. I love Witten as a player.
Me too.
Nice guy.
He's a great guy.
Not a broadcaster.
No, he might be. Mike, he might be.
Nah, he won't be. You know what? He's like, no, he won't be.
That's just a big spot, man.
No, he won't be. Listen, some guys just, it's not their thing. I mean, you know, listen, when Montana tried it or Bill Walsh tried it, didn't work. Some guys, it's just not their thing. He's just, it's not his thing. I would be very surprised if he ever gets to a point where he's very comfortable. I think if someone's good to him, they'll tell him. So he doesn't waste a lot of time on it. It's just not his thing. That's all. Some guys, yeah, it's not their
thing.
This
is way out of me. This is talking way out of my league. I'm not one of those executives. I'm not one of these broadcasters.
Yeah. Well,
in the booth,
I'll
but
tell
I would
you,
say
listen,
this.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have hurt doing a season of Toledo and Akron for a couple of weeks. And maybe
listen,
doing a little
you're
of that.
100, you're 100% right about that. But here's the thing. You can tell in 10 minutes whether the guy is going to be good at it or he's not. You can tell in 10 minutes. And it's just a natural thing that you either have or don't have. And he's a Hall of Famer. He's a great player. He's a great guy. It's just not his thing. And, you know, you could tell in 10 minutes when Joe Montana tried. You knew it wasn't going to last very long. It was sad. It wasn't going to last very long. It's not the end of the world. He'll be fine. You know, maybe
he'll be fine.
Coach,
I'm
going to
hold
whatever.
That judgment. Yeah. I'm going to say maybe in year two he'll be significantly better.
Listen, you know, it's like trying to take care of that player who you just like and you're trying to make sure you don't want to let him down easy. Sometimes you got to say, listen, you know, it's just not your thing. And that's all there is to it. So, all right, listen, that's from me, not from you. I'm not trying to get you involved in that. But listen, he'll be fine. I'm not worried about him. He'll be fine. But, you know,
you
listen.
Yeah. I got to get you Monday Night Football.
No, God, no. I don't want to do that stuff. You go do Monday Night Football. I don't want to do anything anymore. I just want to watch. I don't want to do anything. What are you, crazy? Get out of here. That's, you know, 20 years ago, maybe. Go have
what
fun.
What game was it? I was watching on the app. I was watching your reaction during the game. Which one was it? The Sunday Nighter or Monday Nighter?
The Monday Nighter.
I was watching you watching a game.
The Monday Nighter. That was great. We had a great time with that. That was unbelievable. We had a lot of fun with that.
Hey, if you do that from Manhattan one time, I'll come in.
Let me know when you're in town. We'll do it. You come in and you can do the game with me. We'll do the whole night, the whole game.
I would love it.
Let me know. You can come in and do the whole game. I'm
that.
Serious.
We'll
you come in.
Out.
We'll
what
sit down. We'll do the whole game, okay?
We'll do it.
I'm telling you, we'll do it. We'll make it a three in the booth. I'll bring a third guy. We'll get an NFL guy, and we'll put him on the phone, and we'll have a third guy in the booth.
I want Ira from Staten Island or something like that. Let me get Jerome from Manhattan.
I was going to get you Parcells. I figured you'd like that better, so I figured that's it. Oh, we might have to keep him up late. He might not be up that late. Okay. Thanks. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
You're the best.
All right, Peter Schrager. But, yeah, we'll have Schrager come in and do it. He'll come in and sit here, and we'll do the whole game. Yeah, it'd be fun. Absolutely. And we'll come up with someone else. Listen, it's not the end of the world for Witten. Listen, he's just not. You know, hey, it's not a good broadcast. We all know that. Everyone in the world's killed the Monday night thing. The whole thing with where they're putting Booger and the whole thing it's not working. The whole thing's not working. But he's really it's a rough go. It really is. He's just having a tough time. Not everybody's made to be a broadcaster. That's all. He's made to be a tight end. He's a Hall of Famer, first ballot. That's for sure. Great player. Back after this.